Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am your host, the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I'm broadcasting out of New Milford and this amazingly gorgeous summer morning. Today is the 27th of July, 2010. And again, I am so appreciative of all of you, my listeners, who have decided to spend the time with me this morning. My guest this morning will be joining us out of Germany, and her name is Barbara Hofbester. And Barbara has an amazing story. She bloomed into entrepreneurship later on in her life, and she has an amazing story. And I do pray that Barbara's story will help to ignite your passion and vision this morning. So, again, I am happy that you have took the time to join me this morning. The telephone number that you can call to be part of the conversation this morning is 646-915-8166. And for those of you who might be at work, you probably want to listen us on the web. If you can do that cautiously without jeopardizing your job, okay? Again, this is the Queen of the Empowered Soul, otherwise known as Dynamic Daphne. And for some of you who probably don't know me as well as the others, you call me Daphne Clark Hudson, and I'm one of the same. I want to remind you that the early bird registration for the Vision Conference is soon approaching. So you want to go on there and grab your registration. The conference will be September the 2nd through the 4th at the Exquisite Heritage Hotel, Spa and Golf, nested in the amazing New England town of Southbury. You can visit us at visionweekendconference.com. We also have an affiliate program if you're interested in earning some money off of the people you recommend for the conference. Sign up for our affiliate program. So that is that piece of housekeeping. I also want to let you know that We will also be starting a new show, and that show will take place on Eagle Vision Media Group, and we will be broadcasting out of EVMG Radio. And that radio show is designed to awake the entrepreneur within you. And we will be up and running prayerfully by next week. So keep your eyes open. We look for your support over there on EVMG Radio as well. Now, I want to officially welcome a group of amazing people that I was so privileged and blessed to spend 3 days last week with. And I'm going to call out their names and tell you who they are and how we are all now connected. And just to share a bit of amazing story. The first person I want to welcome into my family, my new family of origination, is Jesse LaCosta. And Jesse is from San Diego area. And you will be hearing from her here on the radio in a few weeks coming up. But we all now belong to a great family of origination, and we are going to invite you to come dream with us. So just keep your ears open. There's a lot of things I have cooking, which I will need your support on. The next person who is a master storyteller and an amazing facilitator is Alan R. Olson. And I want to also welcome Alan to my family. The next person is Lori Sheets. Lori, I want to welcome you to my family. And Nicholas Huff. Nicholas is out of Mexico City, Mexico. And oh, what an amazing gentleman you are, Nicholas. I want to let you know how much I appreciate you being part of my family. The next person I want to welcome to my family is Rich Dupoche. And Rich is out of Chesterfield in Missouri. And another powerful gentleman that I had the opportunity to spend 3 days with. The next amazing woman I want to congratulate and thank her for sharing this amazing opportunity with all of us, is Luz Delia Gerber. And Luz is the CEO and co-founder of Origination. And you're probably thinking, I've heard the name Gerber before. Luz is Luz Delia Gerber is the wife of Michael E. Gerber. And all of you out there on the internet, you probably know Michael as the gentleman in the white suit. So, yes, Michael is also the guru in entrepreneur, the E-Myth, Awake the Entrepreneur Within, and now the Dreaming Room, Come Dream With Us. So that's what we were out there participating in. Michael's vision of the Dreaming Room. The next person I want to welcome into my family and to let her know it was such a pleasure meeting her, having lunch with her, praying with her. And that person is Karen Dunn. Karen, I hope you are enjoying the new place where you're at now. And I know that we are connected for the rest of our lives because God wants us to do that. And Mr. Jim Taylor, Jim Senior, what a pleasure it is to have met you, my brother. And I want to be just like you when I grow up. So you pray for me. The next person is Rich Lingley. And Rich is out of New Brunswick, Canada. And thank you, thank you, thank you for all the laughter. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And last but not least, I was privileged to meet in person and spend three of the most amazing day with, oh, before I do that, there's one more person I'm missing out here. Kirsten Halvin. Kirsten, it was a pleasure meeting you as well, and I now call you friend, and I now called you family. And the next person that I had the privilege of hanging out with and for meeting was Mr. Michael E. Gerber. Michael, thank you for all the things that you have done for entrepreneurship. Thank you for paving the way for us. And thank you for believing and trusting in us enough to share your legacy with us. I know I'm not only speaking for myself, but I'm speaking for all my other colleagues that were there. We know how delicate your baby is, and we are all committed to treat it just like you have been treating it for the past 5 years. I know it's an honor to each and every one of us that was in that room to now call ourselves Dreaming Room facilitators, because you have trusted us enough, Michael, with your vision and your dream and your legacy, that you can now just lift this baby out of the bassinet and place the baby so delicately in each of our hands. And we thank you. We do not take this lightly. And we will commit ourselves day after day after day to continue to awake the entrepreneur within, so that they can all create extraordinary businesses. So that was it. I spent 3 days last week with this group of amazing people who, it was such a privilege to just be in the room with them and to share with them and to see that, you know, even way from, George, how could I have forgotten George? George was out of Jorge. He was out of Colombia. Oh, you got to excuse me, Jorge, for not remembering to welcome you to my family, because you know that I love you dearly, my brother. And I want you to remember that I've never been to Colombia, and I'm looking for an opportunity to come over there and work with you. So, yes, as I was mentioning, that these people are so committed to entrepreneurship and to help each and every human being out there realize what God called them really to do, God called them to do, because each and every one of us were called for a specific reason and for a purpose. And with us adding this additional nugget to what God has called us to do is indeed a powerful thing. Yes, I had mentioned earlier on that my guest this morning will be none other than Barbara Hofmeister. And Barbara is out of Germany. So we are hoping that she will call in this morning. I know the last time she should have been on, that we had some mixed up with the time, but I'm praying that she will remember to call in this morning, because she has an amazing story that she will be sharing with you. So again, the Vision Weekend Conference, you can register and take advantage of the Vision Weekend Conference. Some of our speakers that are confirmed so far, we have Jan Moloch. We have Jennifer Circle. We have Ed Foxworth II. We have Dr. Stephen Harefield, our invited keynote speaker. We still need to work out some particulars in which to confirm him. Is none other than Mr. Michael E. Gerber. So there is a good reason to round everybody up, because you want to hear it from the horse's mouth. You would like to hear from Michael himself what he has been doing for the past 37 years. That transforms the world of entrepreneurship. So be there at the conference. Of course, I will be speaking as well. There are two more people that we are waiting to also confirm, because there was a slight conflict, and we are just working that those, we are just praying that those things will be worked out soon and favorable for them to be at the conference. So again, we have booth space available for those of you who are looking to do groups and of 10 and more, or if you have a youth entrepreneurial group of kids that you know, you can call directly, because we have special rate for the young people. Please call at 860-355-9838 if you have a group of 10 or more, or if you have a group of teenagers who are pursuing anything to do with entrepreneurship. We have an amazing special prize for our young people, because we have to encourage them so that they can follow their dream and their calling and their purpose. So again, the telephone number is 646-915-8166. And please feel free to call in this morning and to join our conversation as I wait for Barbara Hofmeister to call in this morning from Germany. Now, you remember that last show, I began reading sections of the book, The E-Myth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It. And that's by Michael E. Gerber, the same gentleman I've just mentioned about. So last week, last show, we went over the different aspects of the E-Myth. And last week we started off with the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. And we had stopped at the technician. So while I wait for my guests, I will continue reading and sharing what Michael has to say about the technician. The technician is the doer. If you want it done right, do it yourself, is the technician's credo. The technician loves to tinker. Things are to be taken apart and put back together again. Things aren't supposed to be dreamed about. They are supposed to be done. If the entrepreneur lives in the future and the manager lives in the past, the technician lives in the present. He loves the feel of things and the fact that things can get done. As long as the technician is working, he is happy. But only one thing at a time. He knows that two things can't get done simultaneously, only a fool would try. So he works steadily and is happiest when he is in control of the workflow. As a result, the technician mistrusts those he works for because they are always trying to get more work done than is either possible or necessary. To the technician, thinking is unproductive unless it's thinking about the work that needs to be done. As a result, he is suspicious of lofty ideas or abstractions. Thinking isn't working. It gets in the way of work. The technician is interested in ideas. He's interested in how to do it. To the technician, all ideas need to be reduced to methodology if they are to be of any value and with good reason. The technician knows that if it were for him, the world would be in more trouble than it already is. Nothing would get done, but lots of people would be thinking about it. Put another way, while entrepreneurs dream, the manager's frets and the technician ruminates. The technician is the resolute individualist standing his ground, producing today's bread to eat at tonight's dinner. He is the backbone of every cultural tradition, but most importantly of ours. If the technician don't do it, it wouldn't get done. Everyone gets the technician's way. Everyone gets in the technician's way. The entrepreneur is always throwing a monkey wrench in his day with the creation of yet another great idea. On the other hand, the entrepreneur is always creating new and interesting work for the technician to do, thus establishing a potential symbolic relationship. Unfortunately, it really works out that way. Since most entrepreneurial ideas don't work in real world, the technician usually unusual experience is one of frustration, annoyance at being interrupted in the course of doing what needs to be done to try something new that probably doesn't need to be done at all. The manager is also a problem to the technician, because he is determined to impose order on the technician's work to reduce him to part of the system. But being a rugged individualist, the technician can't stand being treated that way. To the technician, the system is dehumanizing, cold, antiseptic, and impersonal. It violates his individuality. Work is what a person does. And to the degree that it's not work because something's foreign. To the manager, however, work is a system of results in which the technician is but a component part. To the manager, then, the technician becomes a problem to be managed. To the technician, the manager becomes a meddler to be avoided. To both of them, the entrepreneur is the one who got them into trouble in the first place. In fact, the fact of the matter is that we all have an entrepreneur, manager, and technician inside of us. Hey, good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Daphne, it's Barbara.
Hey, Barbara, good morning, and welcome to the A New Day show. How are you, my sister?
I am great. Thank you very much. I'm well.
Oh, what a privilege it is to be speaking with you. So I was just here running my mouth away until I get you on, and I glanced over. As a matter of fact, I was just reading a portion of the book. I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The E-Myth.
Yes, I've read it, but some time ago.
Yes, and
yeah, by Gerber, right? Michael Gerber.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. I was privileged to spend 3 days last week with Michael, so I was just sharing. And I want you to know that if your time allow for that, we can have a longer conversation because I did not have another guest. So without any further delay, I want to extend a warm welcome to you for being here on the show and for carving out time to get into conversations with me this morning.
Thank you, Daphne.
So, Barbara, I want to start off. I want to ask you to please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them who you are and a little bit about your humble beginnings, please.
Okay, my name is Barbara Hofmeister. I am German, and I'm calling from Germany. It's afternoon here. And, my humble beginnings. Well, I was born in communist Germany, in former communist Germany. And I lived in a very small village together with my parents and my grandparents and several aunts and uncles. And for me, life was perfect in those days. I mean, for a small child, if you live in the countryside, it's always nicer than living in the city. And, mm-hmm. of course, my parents let me roam the country because in those days there weren't that many cars, especially in East Germany, there weren't. And so I was very, very free as a small child. I had my own German shepherd, and he went with me everywhere, and I was free to roam. Mm-hmm. And when I turned 8, my father was an entrepreneur from the very, very beginning. I mean, as a very young man, he started, to buy and sell stuff and always find opportunities. That was his passion. Mm-hmm. He loved it. And so when I turned 8, he was 28 or 29, mm-hmm. and he realized that in communist Germany, under the communist regime, it would be impossible to be an entrepreneur because everything was state-run. Mm-hmm. So they took the businesses away from the people. For instance, both my grandparents had their own businesses. My father's parents, they had a shop, retail shop, and my mom's parents, they had a pub and a butchery.
Mm.
And the government took that away from them, and they had to work in their own businesses for a very small salary. And when my father realized that, he said, this is not for me. I can't live with that because I want to have my own business. He was already very successful. We were probably the richest people in the little village. That doesn't mean that we were wealthy, you know, but we had our own house and everything. And and I had my own room. My mom was at home. So it was really fantastic. And when my father decided that we need to, you know, move out of that country, it was dangerous to get out because the borders were closed, but it was before the Berlin Wall was built. So Berlin was the only place where you could get across the border without the danger of getting shot. You had the danger of being arrested but not getting shot. So, and that's what he attempted. First time he failed, just before he crossed, he went into Berlin. He was in the boot of a friend's car, and they opened all the boots of the cars in front of them. So he jumped out last second and ran for safety. And on the second attempt, he actually managed to get into Berlin and then crossed the border there. And somehow he informed my mom, and she took me. And we had only a very, very small suitcase that was with my clothes mainly, because my mother told me that we're going to a holiday camp, and I was really excited. It was holidays, and I was really excited. And so we went on the train, and before I realized what was happening, I was in, you know, in West Berlin, and I saw my dad, and I didn't understand anything. And we went by plane, American plane in those days. We went to Düsseldorf, which is a big city in Germany, and we ended up living in a small attic room without bathroom, without any facilities. And for me, as and my parents, of course, they worked day and night, literally, because they wanted to, you know, to get back what they had left behind. So suddenly, from being a really cared for child living in a beautiful environment, I was left to my own devices in a big city where I knew nobody, and I had no family, no friends, and it was dreadful. And I'm telling the stories so people can understand how you feel as a child. It you know, it's like a total life change, and you don't understand why. And I hated my parents with passion in those days because I didn't understand why the heck they did that. And I hated the way that I had to live all of a sudden, you know, all by myself. And you know, it was dangerous because there was so much traffic. I wasn't used to that. And so it was really horrible. My mother told me that I was crying all the time. And I was very upset, and I was screaming and shouting at them and telling them I hate them, and I want to go back home, and I don't want this. And it was a hard time. And it was in those days that I made the decision that I want to be my own master. I want to have, I want to choose my own life, not let somebody else choose for me, because it was not my choice to do that.
That's right. You know, Barbara, I am so thankful that you took the time to so eloquently share that story in depth and in detail, because there are people out there right now, there are adults out there right now, and there there quite possibly there are children out there now who are listening to your story, and some of the adults more than likely have been for their entire lives blaming their parents for situations that happened earlier on. And I want them to know that it's not by accident that they're listening to your story this morning, because you were honest enough to say your feelings, express how you felt towards your parents. However, that has not deterred you from evolving to where you are right now, which they will hear later on. But the part I like, Barbara, was that you are the child of entrepreneurship, because you were born into it. You observed it around you. And even though your grandparents and parents lost their businesses. You had it carved inside of your core that, no, I want to be my own boss. And regardless of what happened to my grandparents and my parents, I'm still going to make something of this. And this is powerful. It shows that when we make our minds up and we have things that is close to our spirit and our soul, nothing can rob us from that. So I am just so thankful. So you went to Berlin. And how long did they stay in Berlin, Barbara?
Oh, we just stayed for a few hours. We actually flew out the same day. We went to, like I said, we went with an American airline in those days. We're the only ones that were allowed to fly back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And, we went to a big city in West Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, I mean, my mom, she went to work in a dry cleaners, and she ironed shirts, and, you know, I mean,
yes,
she did pretty, tough work, because she had no education, no real education. She'd been, you know, she was brought up to be a mother and
yes,
to be someone that looks after the household and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what she did. So she mm-hmm. she worked in this dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, he became a truck driver
mm-hmm.
because there was plenty of work in those days in Germany.
Yes.
But there was not enough housing. That was the main problem. There was no housing because the country was badly bombed.
Mm-hmm.
So my father was away all week. He came home Friday night or sometimes Saturday morning and mm-hmm. left again Sunday afternoon. So I didn't see that much of him. And my father was a very passionate man. He was very, passionate, but also pretty violent, you know. I think mm-hmm. it was because bad-tempered, maybe.
Yes,
for it.
Mm-hmm.
He loved me to bits, but at the same time, when he was in a bad mood, you know, it was very easy for him to sort of get upset and
lash out.
So I got pretty badly beaten as a child, pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
And never when I did anything, always just because my dad was, you know, in one of his bad moods.
And that's how parents back then disciplined. I think that's what they thought they had to do. And now that is no longer accepted. But as you look back, you know, I've gotten a couple of lashes too growing up in the West Indies, because that's how our parents disciplined. And I'm not saying that now to tell people to do the same thing with their children. But the one thing I always say, I did not come out too badly for that, because even now I look back over my life, I would not have choose to do anything differently, because it has helped to mold me into the person I am today. I want to take a couple minutes and just to welcome my colleague, D.A. Williams from WDKK Radio. He's in the chat room. I thank you for stopping by, Brother D.A. So, you know, Barbara, it's amazing. You mentioned about your grandparents being butchers and your parents being shopkeepers. And I was born and raised in Jamaica, West Indies. And back then, I don't think we used the word entrepreneurship as much. We used to say, oh, that person goes to the market to sell their produce, and that person is a butcher. But we never call them entrepreneur. But as you said now, they are all entrepreneurs. The people in the farmers market, the butchers of the different meat that they sell, they are entrepreneurs. Did you?
Yeah, they are in a way. But I would like to restrict that a little bit, because if you work in your own business and your business totally depends on you, then I don't think it's really entrepreneurship. You're self-employed, but you are still absolutely necessary for the business. Entrepreneurship, in my eyes, is more actually when you learn how to leverage your knowledge, when you learn how to leverage what you know how to do with, you know, with other skills or with other people's help, and actually make a business out of it that does not totally depend on you.
And exactly, because a lot of entrepreneurs, we think that it needs, if it needs to be done, it must be done by us. So we don't leverage what we have. We have no exit plan and everything like that. And this is why I commit this radio to the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs, so we can start doing it smartly and not challenging and difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is what the EMIT system is all about. So, all right, so we fast forward, but even Barbara, even back then when you decided from an early age that you wanted to be your own boss, however, it did not happen right away. You spent a few years in the travel industry. Would you like to talk about that, please?
Yeah, it was actually, I had to study something, right? So I studied administration. I had to study because my parents wanted me to have a finished education before I was allowed to leave home. So I studied administration. I was quite good at it at the time, but I didn't enjoy it that much. It was always the same kind of work, and that was not exciting enough. And I met some people in a seminar I attended, I can't remember now exactly, and they said to me, oh, if you want to travel, because I always love to travel, and they said, if you want to travel, become a tour rep, or a tour director, I think you call it in the States, become a tour director, and you get to travel all over the world, and they pay you not so much, but, you know, more than you need to live, and you only have to work 2-3 days a week. I thought, this sounds like paradise. Let's do it. So I went for it, but very quickly did I realize that it's not true that that you only work 2 or 3 days a week. They make you work really hard, 6 days a week minimum. And, of course, you're never at home anywhere because you're constantly changing countries. I mean, I change countries every season. That means every 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was okay because I wanted to be, you know, in new countries all the time. And I love you know, go to a new place and meet new people and learn about new cultures. So I enjoyed that. But even in those days, I was so independent that I always preferred to work far away from the local boss. You know, I never wanted to be in the office, in the main office, or I never wanted to be in any office, actually. I always asked that they give me a post that was as far away as possible from our offices so that I could do my own thing. And they knew, you know, they found out fairly quickly that I was very reliable and that I did my job to the very best possible. And so they let me do that, you know. So for many years I was working in tourism, and normally I got the post that nobody else wanted because you had to work totally by yourself, and I loved it.
And that was for you.
Yeah, that was for me. That's why I felt that I was independent. I felt that it was my own business, even though it wasn't. Because I was running my own hours and I was making sure that everyone was okay and that, you know, the tourists got the rooms they needed and that everything was well organized for their reception and departure and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that until the age of 39, 40. And at you probably read that in my book about my midlife crisis at age 40. I had a massive midlife crisis around
I thought it's only men get midlife crisis. I didn't know.
No. Women also. Not all men get it, not all women get it, but a lot. And of course, we get it at different ages. Normally, I mean, very often men already get a midlife crisis at 30. But we do get it, yeah. And it's not physical, it's a mental thing. It's, you know, it's a moment in your life. For instance, for my 40th birthday, I wanted to celebrate it at home. in Germany with my family. And I thought, okay, it's a big birthday, and you invite all your friends from the past, from all the different countries you've traveled in. So I went through all my old address books and invited all of my old friends from the different countries that I'd worked in. And it should have been a really fantastic celebration, especially as it was in the year when, for the first time ever, my relatives from East Germany were allowed to come too, because it was just as they'd opened the borders.
Yes.
So I was really excited about it. But, of course, what you do when you look through old address books or old photo albums, what you do, you reflect on your life. You look back into your past life and what you've done with it. And I had the feeling, I've wasted it, you know.
Oh.
I've just drifted through life. I've just sort of drifted from one country to the next. And, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not married. I don't have my own house. I don't have my own car. I don't have this and that, you know, that normal people have.
Yes, yes.
And so I felt like I've wasted my life, and that made me so depressed at my birthday party. We partied for 3 days, and I was in a bad mood most of that time.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah, and my family still remembers that. I mean, one of my uncles reminded me just a couple of weeks ago. And he said that I was so misbehaved because I was in such a bad mood, and everyone wanted to celebrate and were happy to see me, and I wasn't happy at all about anything. But it was necessary to do that because I felt I need a change. But I thought at the time that the change would be that I need to move back to Germany, that I need to live like all the other people live, you know, have a steady job, have a steady income, have a steady social life, have a steady everything. And I tried that. So within the next 6 months, I totally changed my life. I stopped working in tourism. I found a job in Munich in the south of Germany, a very responsible and very interesting position, and totally changed everything in my life. But very quickly did I find out that I'm not meant to work for someone else. I'm not meant to have a boss that tells me to iron his shirts because he's too lazy to do it himself. And, you know, I mean, it was not the most pleasant situation I was in with this guy because we were just a three-person show, really. And he showed me how everything is run. After 3 days, he went on a five-week holiday. And when he came back, he was shocked that I'd taken over, which is normal, you know, because I
had to
learn very fast. Because
you're a born leader.
Yeah,
so
and
not,
I enjoyed taking responsibility. And that's another thing, Daphne, that people must realize wherever they come from, and wherever they are today, they have, first of all, a choice to change, to turn their lives around. And second, they have the choice of who they want to become. We don't have to stay the way we were 20 years ago. We don't even have to be the same that we were yesterday.
That's right, because we have the opportunity to recreate the life we want and the result. But I think that people have been sitting and wallowing themselves in mediocrity for so long that they are so afraid to get out of there, even when people like you or myself and D.A. Williams and many more people out there who for years has been extending an arm to pull these people out of that. They don't want to get out of the mud. They just want to sit there and wallow. But I am thankful that you affirmed this morning, Barbara, that you don't have to stay there unless you choose to, because it is a choice.
Definitely.
In order for us to become productive, successful, real entrepreneurs, it's a choice. We can't sit down and enslave ourselves into the position of what we've been doing all the years, and then we blame somebody else for where we are. It just is not happening. So people need to wake up. They got to wake up and take action. So there again, you thought you were cut from the fabric to go work for somebody, steady job, being dictated, but aha, you got another awakening, Barbara.
I did.
So let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, I realized really quickly, because especially as it was so extreme, you know, he showed me for 3 days how the business was run. Then he went away for 5 weeks. I ran the business. I cleaned everything out. I tidied everything, because he hadn't filed a single piece of paper away for the 7 years that he was running his business. For 7 years, can you imagine? So he only filed away the bank statements because he needed them for tax purposes, and everything else was piled up everywhere. So, you know, I called the lawyers, I called our accountants, and I asked them what I need to keep, and then I organized everything. So when he came back, he almost had a heart attack, because he didn't recognize his office anymore. Everything was so clean, so tidy, files stacked away, you know, but there was no mess anymore. There was no stacks of paper anymore. And literally, he nearly had a heart attack. The guy went home and didn't come back for the next 5 days because he was not feeling well.
Oh, my Lord. He was shocked. Yes.
And he had the fear of losing his position, because he had two business partners. And he thought, well, you know, if she's doing such a great job,
they're going to trade him in. Yep.
Yeah, then they will chuck me out from the position of general manager, because she's much cheaper than I am. So then he gave me a seriously, when he came back, he gave me a seriously bad time. Put me down every minute, and made me clean the toilets, made me iron his shirts, and I don't go for that, you know. And I told him, you know, I'm much too well paid to do that kind of work, because, I mean, you can get a cleaning lady for that. That is their job. They like to do this work, you know, but I didn't come to do that kind of thing. So anyway, we were in disagreement, so I changed the position. Yep.
He was doing that because he wanted you to get angry and leave, because he was thinking that maybe his business partners would trade him in for you. So he was hoping, let me get rid of her before they made that decision. So he knew what he was up to. But you were smarter than that.
Yeah, so I left after a few months, but not before he actually managed to put me down so much that I was feeling totally insecure. This was crazy. I mean, I thought that I was a very strong, self-assured person. But he was able to, within the 3 months that we actually worked together in the same office when he was actually there, he managed to put me down so often that in the end, I was not even capable anymore of filing away the bank statements, because I made mistakes everywhere. Because if you are being told 10 times, 20 times a day, once I counted from 9 o'clock when we started work to 10:30, he had told me off 12 times in 90 minutes.
My God.
Can you imagine?
You know, I am glad you are sharing that now, because there are people out there who are experiencing the same thing. And this is why, Barbara, we are here in this conversation, and you do what you do and I do what I do, because we want to help people to empower themselves so they don't have to buy into those things. Mm-hmm. It's like when they empower themselves and invest in who they are, when people behave towards them like that, it is as if they are immersed in oil. And when they put all those bad things on them, it's like it run off as if you pour water on them. Because that is damaging. It's not only to children, but it's damaging to adults as well. 12 times in 19 minutes, you are told a derogatory statement. That is programming you for failure, unless you have the strength not to accept what is being said to you.
It was an interesting experience, actually. You know, when I finally realized what was happening, I was already, I was already very small in my own self-esteem. And then I left, of course, when I finally realized what was happening to me. And I thought, how is that possible? And this is when I became seriously interested. I mean, I became involved in personal development in 1978 when a friend gave me a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And at first I felt a little bit insulted when she gave me that book because I thought, you know, you get a self-help book because they think something's wrong with you.
Well,
I don't see that anymore like that today.
Exactly.
But in those days, that's what I thought. I thought, why does she give me a self-help book? She must think there's something wrong with me, but I'm okay. I'm good. But I was not good. I was a fairly aggressive young woman. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, I suppose because of the abuse by my father, I mean, beating up and all that, but also because I was raped twice at age 16, and it was not really talked about, you know. It happened,
right.
It went to the police, one of the guys was found and put to prison, but it doesn't change anything for you personally if
That's
they
right.
go to prison or don't, because
That's
it
right.
happened
you are still
anyway.
Hurting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I just pushed all this aside and didn't talk with anyone about it. And I recommend that you don't do that. If that happened to any of you, please, and if it happens to your children, take care of them.
That's
Make
right.
sure that they understand what has happened. And
it's not their
they
fault.
They can change that. It's not their
That's
fault,
right.
definitely
That's
not.
Right.
But in those
That's
days,
right.
you know, here in Germany at least, the police treated like I
pushed
was
under the carpet, yes.
Yeah, no, also they treated me like I was the person doing it, you know,
yes,
like it was
yes,
my fault
yes.
because, of course, the guy, when they finally had him, he said that I provocated him and that it was me that wanted it and all that kind of stuff. And
I
it's word against that. Word, isn't it?
Mm. Yes,
and
yes.
It's
yes.
two people, a young girl from 16 and a guy from 28 or 30. So who are they going to believe? So,
yes.
you know, it was really hard for me because I couldn't understand why they didn't believe me, why the police said, oh, we know you're just saying that so your parents are not upset that you came home so late and stuff like that. But it was not the truth. Anyway, in the end, they put him into prison. But
yes.
the thing is that if you live with that for so long and you put it under the carpet the whole time, and you don't talk about it, and you try not to think about it, and you try to get on with your life normally.
You can't.
It's still there. You can't. No, you have
you
to.
Cannot,
you cannot,
because it's going to come up. It's going to come up in every day. So the sooner you deal with that, the easier, the quicker it will be for you to heal yourself. Because you know, too many women get blamed. And as a matter of fact, let me rephrase that. Men too, because men are being molested as well. And regardless of who the victims are, whether you are female or male, please talk about it. Know that it is not your fault. You did not attract it. You did not ask for it. And you do not deserve to hurt for the rest of your life. So there are people who will listen to you, who will support you and believe in what you are telling them. So please, don't keep yourself in the agony and in the hurt for the rest of your life. So, you know, Barbara, it is just a miracle that we are in conversation now and that you are just sharing with everybody. Because how many people out there, regardless of what country they are in, are listening and they're saying Barbara's story is my story.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, look at what she has done with her life. She has turned her life around. What reason have I got? If Barbara can do that, so can I. So, it's a blessing that we didn't have another guest because when we had scheduled this conversation, we had scheduled it with the anticipation to focus on one portion of your life, and it was just what you were now doing towards entrepreneurship and for helping people in the arena of personal development. But God has a whole different plan for this conversation this morning, and this is why he cleaned the slate off, so we can have this this conversation for the people, and that they will be healed from whatever they are going on and say, hey, Barbara done it. What's my excuse? What is my excuse? So, you got rid of that that mean man who tried to destroy you, but thank God he did not, because you move out of there. You learned some lessons there, I am sure. Maybe at the time you did not document the lessons you learned. But as you got out of that situation, Barbara, and start to relive your life, what were some lessons you thought you learned at that job?
Well, I mean, probably the most important, two big lessons that I learned. One was that I'm not meant to be in a job. The second lesson was that it's possible to really condition someone for failure. And if that is possible, like this guy did with me, if that is possible, it means that you also can condition people for success.
So amen.
When I realized that he was conditioning me for failure, because I, in the end, I was really failing at almost everything I was doing in that job. So when I realized that, you know, I went off running. I mean, I left very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Because
it was a big realization, because I didn't think that it would be possible that somebody would, you know, would intimidate a strong-headed person like me into, you know, becoming like I was in the end, just mm-hmm. before I left in the job. So mm-hmm. that was a big lesson for me to learn, mm-hmm. a lesson that I never, ever let anyone repeat, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, but you see, Barbara, that experience was worth its while, because out of that experience there evolved the work that you are now doing, because you got the realization, hey, he programmed me for failure. Why don't I turn it around? And I can go out there and I can program people for success. So, who knows? If you had not gone through that experience, you probably would not have gotten the awakening that you have now got.
Yeah, probably not. That's true. I mean, every failure that happens to us, every bad situation we get into, there is a learning there always. That's why we have these experiences. And if we don't learn the lesson and utilize it, then we need to repeat the lesson again.
Until we learn it. Exactly.
Until we learn it. And it gets more and more painful. And I have
a good example
of a friend of mine that is an incredible entrepreneur and one of the best speakers I've ever seen. But he is at the moment in prison. And why is he in prison? Because he made the same mistake 3 times. Mm. And each time it got bigger and it caught him more. And the last time he did it in the wrong country. He did it in Ukraine. And they just let him rot in prison. He's been there now for 1.5 years in very bad circumstances. And he hasn't even had a court trial yet.
My God.
Can you imagine?
My God.
19 months and still no court trial. And
my
in
God.
Those countries, you don't have many rights.
That's so, right. That's right.
And he wrote me a long letter a few weeks ago. And when I read it, I couldn't believe it. 7 pages of complaints. And I thought, my God, you still are not learning. You are still not listening. You are still not looking what has happened. You are not looking at yourself. What did I do wrong again? Mm. What could I have done different? What will I do different next time? No, it was all the others. And this
is what
we need to learn. It is our responsibility. Our responsibility. And we must take responsibility for anything and everything that happens to
That's
us,
right.
around us, and with
That's
us.
Right. That's right. And the thing is, Barbara, you said that very well, because and there are many resources out there who can help us to hold ourselves accountable. Because if we know we are having challenge to be responsible and to hold ourselves accountable, there are coaches out there that can help us. There are counselors out there that can help us. But we got to know, until we learn the lesson, we are going to be in classroom. So yeah. You don't want to be in the classroom. Learn the lesson so you can graduate and move out. So
that is very, very true.
Sad for him that he spent the last 19 months and still have not even learned the introduction of the lesson. Because if he has wrote 7 pages and have not learned from that, when is he going to learn? You ask the question, you know?
Yeah, this was for me such a shocker. You know, I couldn't believe it. I was reading and reading and reading, and I thought, well, this is a letter of complaint about what the others all did wrong. And it's not, one sentence was about that, okay, he did something wrong himself, you know, that he could have done better. But I thought, you didn't learn anything yet. You are still not wanting to listen. So this is why he has to go through such tough times. And my God. At the moment, not even feel sorry for him. You know, I mean, I feel sorry because he's a friend and he's a good guy. And he could teach so many people, you know. But unfortunately, I personally think that he is where he needs to be. And hopefully
you're hoping
learn the lesson and then they will let him out.
Yeah, because if he decides he will learn, if you're saying he's an incredible teacher and have so much to share, can you imagine if he learns the lesson that he was put in there to learn? The powerhouse
he was already brilliant, but then he will be absolutely unstoppable, absolutely a force.
Well, Barbara, all you have to do, I don't think sympathy is what he needs. He needs a lot of prayer that he will open up and be receptive to, like, flushing out all the bad that's in there and to replace it with the good, or else he's going to be rotten in there. If he's thinking that it's other people's responsibility that's there. So you just got to pray for him to get an awakening.
That's what I do, and it's also what I wrote to him, that, you know, it's time for his learning now. And
that's right.
He has an incredible opportunity to learn some really big lessons that will totally turn his life around. And, you know, so that he can use his knowledge, his skills, his abilities for the betterment of mankind. And he was trying to do that, but he made a lot of mistakes. So
yes,
but
and maybe
the thing is, Daphne, that everybody needs to take responsibility. I want to repeat that because it's so important. It is so easy to blame stuff on other people. It's so easy to say, our parents brought me up like this. This is why I am who I am today. That is rubbish. Yes.
Exactly. They did what
They did the best they could.
That's right.
And I mean, very rarely do parents do bad stuff to their children consciously. You know, normally they the best they can with the best of intentions, but they don't know any better.
That's right.
And
Barbara,
we can't change that, but we can change it.
That's right. Each parent, I don't care whether they are rich, whether they are fluent, or they are real intercity people who they can hardly find the next meal. The one thing all parents have in common is that they always want the best for their children, and they always want to give their children more than they had got. So parents is always doing the best with what they have and with how they know to do that. So it is for us to pick up the slot and do the rest that we need for ourselves. But we can no longer go around and keep blaming the tree. We blame the wind. We blame the pet. We blame everything. Then it comes a time when we need to look in the mirror and say, well, what about me? You have to ask that question to the person that is looking back at you, because the buck really stops with each and every one of us in creating that life and lifestyle and success and affluency that we need in our lives. So, Barbara, let us talk about your decision to commit the rest of your life to personal development and to make your mark in this world. You made that decision back in 1978?
No, that was when I, in 1978, it was when I first got introduced to personal development.
Okay.
Through this book by Dr. Dyer, and I realized while I was reading, when I finally read the book, I realized, I mean, I felt as if he was talking to me. And that was the first time that I realized that I'm not alone, that there must be a lot of people out there who are hurting. There must be a lot of people out there who are trying to cope with life, but they haven't learned how, and they don't understand how. And so, you know, because I knew he hadn't written the book for me personally, but it felt like that.
Exactly, and, because there was a need.
Yeah, yeah, there was a need, definitely. And many people say that about my book now. They say, it's amazing. It's like you're picking me up where I am today. How did you know what I need? I said, well, it's written from my own experiences. I've taken the best techniques, the, you know, the things that got me the best results and that get my coaching clients the best results and put them in the sequence in the To Be book. Why? Because I want it to be practical. I want people to get results. I mean, you know me already a little bit. You know that I'm all about results, about change, about transformation, about happiness, power, empowerment, success, what have you, whatever you want. And
but you know something, Barbara, I think where a lot of people are really cutting corners with their lives is because they refuse to invest in themselves. You know, they are not buying a book. They are not going to a conference, a retreat, a workshop, a seminar. Oh, no, because they are thinking, oh, I don't need it. I am all right. But people who are listening to your radio show, to my radio show, they realize that we are not alone. My story is your story. Your story is somebody else's story. So I'm saying this to say, to tell people, do not be afraid to share your stories. Tell your story to the world. Let them understand how, by taking responsibility and by holding yourself accountable, how you rose from the valley of the dungeon of your story. Because we all have stories, but there are some people, because of pride and ego, they do not want to share their stories. But you can share your story and make a living at doing so. So let's talk a bit more about how you help entrepreneurs understand about what it is they're meant to do, Barbara.
Well, what I found in my life trainings especially and also with my coaching clients is that most people don't know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They drift through life. You know, they know what they don't want better than they know what they do want. And Jim Rohn, he was my first and most important mentor, and he always said that he finds it surprising or puzzling that people spend more time planning their vacation than they do planning their life.
That's
and that,
right.
Unfortunately, is true. And even, you know, if you are an entrepreneur and you made a business plan for your business, have you made a business plan for, have you made a plan for your life?
That's
I mean,
right.
Where do you want to go? Where do you want to be at the end of your days? Who do you want to become while you are here on this planet? Who do you want people to remember when you're gone? That is so important, because if you live into your passion, like I am doing, and I think Daphne is doing too, and you can hear it from our voices, we are super passionate about what we're doing, because we want to help you wake up to reality. Reality, yeah, what is reality? Okay, we can have a long discussion on that. I don't want to go into that now. But please, you must first know what you want. The three secrets to success, anybody's success, and especially if you look at the super top achievers of this world, be it Warren Buffett or be it Bill Gates or be it one of the top sports people, if you look at them, they all have three things in common. Number one is they know exactly what they want.
That's
they are
right.
clear on what the outcome is that they desire. Number mm-hmm. two, they believe that they can get it. Mm-hmm. They are convinced that mm-hmm. it is their birthright to get it.
That's they right.
You know, they make a decision, this is what I'm going for. When I started writing my book, on the day that I wrote the outline of the book, the day that I started writing, a friend was there, he inspired me to actually get started. And he said to me, so what is your goal? What do you want to achieve with this book? Mm-hmm. How big do you want to become? I said, well, at least on the level of Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And as I spoke it, I thought, wow, Barbara, you're going a bit over the top.
that's what your friend said to you?
No, this is what I thought in the moment that I spoke it. You know, because I was surprised that I said it. And as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, oops, you know, why did you say that? I mean, you know, Tony's been going for so many years, and who are you? And you know the little voice that we have inside that says, who are you? What do you
That's
think?
Right.
You know, why do you think you? Blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Okay, so this little voice came up and said, who do you think you are and what do you think you are? And I really snapped it away. I said, thank you very much for the information, but I will do it anyway.
Yeah, and because, you know, Barbara, it was too late for that little voice because you had already put it out in the universe. And once you put it out there, ain't nothing that little voice can do about it because it's going to manifest, you know?
So long as
you put it out there, it's going to manifest. Too late for you because I know, I am taking responsibility for it. I've claimed it. It is mine and I will surpass Tony Robbins because you know what? I am uniquely Barbara and I'm not trying to be Tony, but I'm going to exceed and be the best Barbara that I can be. And it's
that
amazing.
That is exactly right. That is exactly what I thought because I can only be, you know, I mean, I cannot surpass Tony because I'm not Tony. You know, he's
That's
unique
right.
and he's incredible and I love him.
You cannot pass Barbara. Because Barbara,
I can only get bigger than I am today. You know,
exactly.
I can get better than I am today.
That's
and
right.
I am now, and this is interesting for me again. I'm going through a very steep learning curve lately again. And please, people, this is a never-ending journey. It's a journey, personal development. Personal
exactly.
growth is continuous. It doesn't start, and a month later it stops.
That's
you
right.
continue
That's right.
doing it. And the more you do and the more you grow, the more you love it. I
That's
promise
right.
that.
And it only stops, Barbara, when you are 6 foot under. So long as you put the mirror over your nostril and there's some fog on it, you got to keep at it, especially when you are serving others, because you have to be above the learning curve or else you have nothing to give. As personal development specialists or empowerment specialists or whatever label we use, we got to continually invest so that we can give from our overflow, because if we don't have enough on the excess to give from, then we are depleting our full cup. And that's where burnout comes from and people get extremely stressful. They can't manage their stress. But it is a continuous thing. Just as you invest in your clients, you got to go out and put back for yourself. And this is what people do not understand. They think, oh, well, why can't I just be coached for 3 months and I will fix the 46 years of struggle that I'm going through? They just don't get it.
Hmm.
So I'm thankful.
I mean, what you can do, in, you know, even in one coaching session very often, because I want to get results almost immediately, often in one coaching session, I can really help people go over the hump that they're facing at the moment and get past that and move on, you know, and really gain momentum. But, of course, it needs to continue. Not necessarily with me. Maybe they want to take another coach for something else, or maybe they want to join a mastermind group, which I highly recommend.
I'm glad you mentioned about the mastermind group. Let's talk about that, and then we're going to talk a bit after that about the To Be book. Let's talk about the mastermind, because I know you are very involved in that. Let us hear your views on mastermind and how it fits into entrepreneurship and all of that.
Well, masterminding has a lot to do with bouncing back ideas, with getting feedback to your ideas, with getting support from your fellow mastermind members. And normally a good mastermind group is a small, close-knit group. So, for instance, when I run mastermind groups, I always plan them for 6 months. The first month is open to everybody. After the first month, we decide who stays in the group and who doesn't. Mm. Why? Because we want only committed people in there. We want people that want to achieve something in those 6 months, that want to get a different result to what they got in the last 6 months or in the last 6 years even. Mm-hmm. And it does happen. Why? Because you hold each other accountable. So you each week when you meet, and if you make a local mastermind group, start your own. It's not rocket science. And you meet once a week. So we meet online, or we meet by telephone or Skype conference or something like that, depending on the size of the group. But my people are worldwide, so we have to do it online.
Okay, that was going to be my question to you about, are you only working with local people or...
No.
Or but so you answered that question. You read my mind, my sister. How long have you been involved in masterminding?
I started, I think 6 years ago, I started the first group. And that was while I lived in Spain. And then I did make it a local group. I invited, I invited a lot of people that were on my email address book. And I invited, of course, my friends and my neighbors and everybody. And we became a group of, I think, 7 or 8 people. And we met religiously every single week for a couple of hours. And, I mean, the results people got were mind-boggling, even for me that knew about the power of masterminds. But everybody from us was surprised how fast that got us into acceleration, how fast the momentum started to show that we were all gaining. And of course, you do lose one or two because they're not ready for that. They don't really, they want to talk about it. They don't want to do it. So of course, that doesn't work. If you're in a mastermind group, you need to be in there with doers.
That's right. Movers.
People that are ready to move, and they don't want to talk about it for the next 6 months. They actually want to do it. So I find it extremely helpful. I use masterminds for myself. I know all the big, all the people that you know by name, they use mastermind groups. And of course, the more you advance, the higher you go for your mastermind.
Right.
I was in London doing an event last week, one of T. Harv Eker's events, and his main speaker was Blair Singer, amazing trainer also. And Blair was saying that he spends between $5,000 and $9,000 a month on his own coaching, on getting coaching, on part of mastermind groups and all that kind of thing, on his own education. And I spend a lot of money for my own education. I go to all these seminars myself. And still today, I participate. Why? Because they use different techniques that I can learn from. They share different ideas. I meet like-minded people. I immerse myself into this environment. It gives me power again, and it gives me another kick in the butt. And, next time I move a little bit faster. And
well, I have to, Barbara, I must let you know, I am going to be tapping in with you on that off this call, because I'll talk with you on Skype about that, because I need to get one up and running.
Yes,
and I was glad that you said yours was globally, because that's what I need to. So, I will be speaking with you. And who knows, maybe there's a possibility we could start one together and see what happens from there.
Let's talk about Because with accountability, you are up to 9 times more efficient. Nine times more efficient when you are accountable to someone.
That's right.
Most people, I mean, in many of the seminars that I go to, they tell us at the end of the seminar, the trainer says, okay, turn to your neighbor, and that is the person that will be your accountability partner. People don't take it serious.
That's right.
Yeah, they don't understand how powerful it is. They say, yeah, I'm doing it with my girlfriend, or I'm doing it with my husband, or I'm doing...
No, but they don't do it.
That's the point. That is a commitment that you make to yourself and to your partner. And this is why coaching works so well. You are paying a coach a certain amount of money, and the better the coach or the more experienced the coach, the more expensive, you're paying them money, so they kick you in the butt.
That's the main thing they do in a nice way,
and of course using different techniques. But
And hold you accountable. Hold you accountable because
they ask you questions. A good coach will not tell you what to do. A good coach will just ask you questions so that you find out for yourself what it is you want to do next.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing you just said that. I have a good friend who, she's really not a client, but every time she talks to me, my coaching mode kicks in. And every time she says to me, man, you always asking questions. I said, don't forget you're talking to a coach. And I said, that's what coaches do. We ask the right questions. And now she kind of understands that I can't turn that part of me off to have a casual conversation, especially when the question she's asking me has to do with some conflict that she's encountering in herself. So it's not for me to give her the answer, but for me to coach her to the answer. So now I think after 4 years saying that she eventually got it. So let us talk about the To Be book.
Yeah. Let's talk about the To Be book. Well, in publishing the To Be book, I mean, the book is called To Be or Not To Be, The Choice is Yours. Mm-hmm. And it is about living a life of choice, and I mean about the life of your choice, and not society's choice, your parents' choice, your spouse's choice, or anybody else's choice, your choice. Because everybody was born with a mission. Everybody was born with a purpose. And when you find that purpose again, because when we are small children, we still know it. But then very quickly, we tend to forget it. We push it in the background. And as we get older, it seems that life gets in the way and there are more obligations than dreams. And there's no space anymore for dreaming. And unfortunately, today we have so much media around it. We have television, we have the internet, and, you know, there's so much happening all the time. We've got these little plugs in our ears when we go for a run or when we are in the tube or whatever. We just don't have quiet time anymore. And we don't concentrate anymore on what it is that we wanted once upon a time. And this is what I try to achieve in the To Be book, is that people, first of all, find out what it is that they truly want. What is it that you want with your life? And that is the first chapter. We go right into it. I want you to write down your vivid vision, and that is a description of your perfect day a few years from today. But what would your perfect day look like? How many people have sat down for a few hours and actually thought about how would life be perfect? If my life was perfect, what would it look like? From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, take that time. Even if it takes you several days, many people don't do it in one sitting, because it's unusual work, we're not used to that, do it. Do it over several days. Do it over several weeks if necessary. But don't waste too much time, because it's your life, you know, that's running away. And every day counts. And time is our worst enemy, because
that's
we've only got, you know, we've got every minute only once.
Exactly. And we are not, we will not get any more time. It is what it is. What we, how we manage the time we have is what is important. I want to piggyback on something you mentioned about life getting in the way. As you look back, Barbara, over this magnificent journey that you have traveled, when life got in the way for Barbara, back then and even now, what are some ways that you have been dealing with life getting in the way for you?
Well, I found out that when you are really, really, really sure what you want, then life still gets in the way. I mean, I had a super tough year last year, really, really tough. But you are still focusing on the outcome that you want to get. So you don't get distracted that much. Yes, it will put you off track a little bit. Yes, it will take longer. Yes, it will be a little bit of a struggle for a little while. But you stay on the path. And that is the point. If you don't know where you want to go, then life will continuously get in the way. Because it's like jumping into a taxi, for instance, and telling them, take off. And the taxi driver will ask you, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't know. Just go.
You know,
and
Barbara, you know, 2 weeks ago, there was an incident where there was a motor vehicle accident. And I went over to take the people to get medical attention. And I had a lady in the car who was the parent of one of the young persons that were driving. And I had her in the car, and she was on the phone speaking to her daughter. And I'm saying to her, maybe you should go back and stay with your daughter now while we go. And she keeps telling me, drive, drive, drive. And I'm not moving because I didn't know where to drive to. And she keep yelling at me, drive, drive, and I'm still standing. So when she hung the phone up, I said, well, now would you like to tell me where we are going? Because I need to know where I'm going before I can begin to drive. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with our lives.
Yeah.
You know, people jump in and they say, drive. And where are we going? So we keep chasing our shadow. And for 30 years, we are chasing our shadow going in that little circle. And as we look at our life each day, there's a lot we can learn from that when it has to do with personal development. Because they say we cannot do the same thing over and over and over and over expecting a different result. So
isn't that what many people do? They do the same thing over and over, and they hope for different results. And they wait, and they hope, and they wait, and they hope, and they don't get a different result because, you know, they're going backwards instead of forwards.
Right.
Because they are not growing. They are not experiencing. They are stuck, and they don't understand why they are stuck. So they start moaning and groaning, because they see other people fly past them and they think, what happened here? Why did she or he become successful and me not?
And what they say, Barbara, it never fails. They always use that four-letter word. Oh, they are lucky. And I always ask people, what's your definition of luck? Because if you look in those people's checkbook or on their credit card, you realize they had the luck of going to a seminar, the luck of hiring a coach, the luck of going to a conference, the luck of buying some books and CDs and DVDs. That's the luck of them investing in themselves. Nothing came falling in their laps.
Yeah,
and I said, opportunity is always knocking, but only the people who open the door to accept it really get the benefit. People think that you can just sit in la-la land and they are envious and jealous about the people who are really investing in themselves and doing things. that will not only impact their lives, but will impact and transform the world around them. So people need to wake up and take action. Because if you decide you're not going to do anything, then guess what? You're not going to have anything happen to your life. You are just going to be here like, you know, my friend and mentor, Dr. Miles Monroe, says there are many, many people who are dead and they are still walking. Some people die from the age of 20, and they die physically at 70. So all for that 50 years in between, they were just living deads walking around. So we are here to tell people that you got to take action. And, you know, I want to also mention the importance, Barbara, of quiet time. I have found out that there are people who are so afraid of quiet time. Mm-hmm. They're afraid. When I do retreats and we go through those quiet activities, people are so afraid of the quiet time. So it's a challenge for adults to keep quiet and be still. And it is during that time that we get a lot of revelation and clarity. I don't know what your experience is around that. Do you find out that it's a challenge for adults to be still?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It has to do a lot with our society and the way that we live today. And like I said earlier, we are bombarded continuously with information, and we even have the plugs in our ears when we have quiet time, or we should have quiet time.
That's right.
Definitely. And quiet time is necessary. If people use my book as a guide to really become clear on their destiny, on their purpose, on their passions, and how to fulfill them, how to actually live them, because it's a really step-by-step process in there, they will find that they need to take quiet time. I mean, that is a big part of the process. You cannot learn, you cannot change, you cannot improve unless you reflect a little bit. You must reflect. For instance, when I feel that I'm burning out, or, you know, that I'm overwhelmed with whatever's happening, you know what I do? I go to a cemetery. Why? Because especially here in Germany, the cemeteries are absolutely beautiful because they are very well maintained, and everybody keeps the gravesites of the families with loads of flowers, and everyone does it differently, and it's so beautiful, and it's so peaceful and so still. So I just spend some time in the cemetery, and I just sit there or walk around the, you know, along the graves and read the names and the dates and think about who these people might have been in their lifetime. Could have been, might have been, and have been, maybe some of them if I know them. And
yes.
And it's so interesting, you know, and that always helps me personally when I do that. You know, spend an hour or so in there, depending on my state at the moment, and just sort of reflect on the lives, on life in general. And you get some answers because your subconscious has all the answers for you ready.
Exactly.
And if we don't take quiet time, we cannot hear those answers. We cannot hear what it's trying to tell us.
You know, the male gender, they do that very well. As women, I think too often our nurturing mode kicks in, and we are thinking, I got to get this done, I got to do this, I got to do that. And it is a challenge for majority of women to carve the time out to go and take a manicure, get their hair done, get a pedicure, or just sit with another friend to have tea or coffee, because they look, oh, the laundry has to be done, this has to be done, that has to be done. But I tell people, unless you are doing the best that you can for you, you are not in a position to serve anybody else. And women need to understand that we should not be wearing that guilt hat anymore when we are supposed to take time for ourselves and do something for us. We are deserving. I tell people, you know, go outside, buy flowers for yourself. Don't wait on somebody to buy your flowers. Because they probably don't think you are important enough. So, but because you know you are deserving, you go out there and buy flowers for yourself. Sit around, enjoy it. Put your legs up, put your journal on the side table, close your eyes, meditate. And then you, when you come back, you just write and document all the things that you got in there quiet, those quiet times. You're going to find out, especially if you are a mother who is working from home, you're going to find out that when your family comes back, you are going to be so much richer for that quality time that you took with yourself. So it's
yeah,
just
quality time with yourself. First of all, it's very important for your own self-esteem and your own, you know, to build up your self-concept. Mm-hmm. And it's also important to get the revelations, to really hear your inner voice helping you, you know, to define what it is that you truly want out of your life. Mm-hmm. I think we definitely need to take more time. And another thing, we need to start patting ourselves on the back. Because mm-hmm. each of us has already achieved so much, but because other people have achieved more maybe, or something more visible, something bigger, like I used to compare, like I said, you know, I want to be like Tony Robbins, at least as famous as him. Today I think differently. I couldn't
exactly
tell you, you know.
Exactly.
I am
exactly
a totally different person. And
that's
the book
right
was not written to make me famous. The book was written so that people get results. And I must say that the feedback I'm getting from the book is absolutely mind-boggling. And there has been more than one review or testimonial that I've received in the last few weeks since the book mm-hmm. is out that made me cry, because it touched me so much, you know, that
good
people from a book that is costing at the moment $13.40, that's three Starbucks
mm-hmm.
coffees, right? And people are telling me that the book is changing their life, that they have totally turned around, that they are doing things different, that they are getting totally different results. And I wrote the book, but I'm with my mouth open and tears streaming, really streaming from my eyes, because I'm so moved that it's working. Yes, that was my intention, but, you know, until people actually, total strangers, that have never worked with you, that don't know you, when they give you this type of feedback, then I know, yes, this is exactly the intention that I had when I wrote it.
Yeah, because you know, Barbara, you were a conduit through which God works. And this was why earlier in the conversation I mentioned about the importance of telling our stories. A lot of people, they get kind of unhappy when I tell them the reason for the show. I said, tell me your story, because your story is what will help my listeners. And people really don't get it to understand. Yes, our accolades and our qualifications are super, but our stories is what help other people to ignite. And that's what your writings are doing for the people who open that those pages. They see themselves on that page. So it was not to elevate or to put accolades behind who Barbara is, but is to show that Barbara overcame all these challenges and out of this valley and has committed her life to transforming the rest of the world. And I want to applaud you and congratulate you for all the work that you have been doing. I want, Barbara, for you to know, just tell people how they can get in touch with you for those
uh-huh.
people. Just give your website and your phone number, please.
Yes. My website is www.thetobebook.com. That is www.thetobebook.com. Thetobebook.com. That's the book website. And please do yourself a favor and go to the testimonials pages and read all the incredible testimonials that I am getting from the readers. And the book's only been out for a few weeks. It's now an Amazon bestseller. I am so proud of that. You can't even imagine. I saw it climbing, and it went to number one on several categories, and I'm just blown away by it. And as I said, the most important is the results people are getting. It's not a reading book. It's entertaining. It's very easy to read, but it's not a textbook. It is a workbook. There is loads and loads of exercise in there, and I can guarantee you without a shadow of doubt, especially now as I know from the feedback I get from the readers, if you use it as it's meant to be used, you will change your life. You will transform your life. It's not painful or anything. It's fun. You will see it happening within a short period of time. There will be changes. You will have different points of view. You will have different attitude towards your life. And really, you will improve in the opportunities that you see, in the possibilities that you are taking. And, you're going to move forward. I promise you that, because I know I have. I mean, these are techniques that I've used for years and that I use in all my life workshops, and that I use also with, you know, all the groups that I work with. They work, and they work really well, and you can do it all by yourself if you don't want to hire a coach, if you don't want to do a workshop. So for $15, you can do it.
All right, Barbara. Thank you so much for this conversation for eloquently sharing your story with us here this morning on the A New Day show. If you're just joining us, you can listen to this show on the archive. I had a wonderful, amazing conversation with Barbara Hofmeister. I hope I'm not
Hofmeister.
out of Germany. She took the time to call us here and sharing her stories. And I do hope that this conversation this morning has helped you to ignite your passion and to help you to understand what your vision and calling is. And I want to remind you that we are having the Vision Weekend Conference on September the 2nd through the 4th. And you can visit us at visionweekendconference.com and just sign up. We pray that you will be there, some of our speakers. So far, we have John Mullock, Jennifer Sertle, Edward Fotsworth, Denise L. Jackson, Dr. Stephen Harefield. Our invited keynote is Michael E. Gerber. So we just pray that you will carve some time aside. The conference will take place in Southbury at the Heritage Conference Golf and Spa. And we look forward to having you there at that conference with us. Again, the website is the Vision Weekend conference.com, and we look forward to seeing you there. If you are looking for getting a group of 10 or more there, you can call at 860-355-9838, and we will give you a special rate for the youth entrepreneurs, and if you have groups of 10 or more. Okay, so Barbara hang up. I was going to have her back on to give her closing thoughts. However, she hang up, so she missed that opportunity. I want to just thank her for coming on and for sharing about her work, her life experience, and how she had evolve from that. I'm praying that you have learned something from this this conversation here this morning with Barbara and myself. What an amazing story. We all have stories, and we should share our stories, because we are not sure the impact that they will have on somebody. And why be selfish? Why hold on to these stories? Let us share them and help other people to transform their lives. Again, Barbara, I thank you for calling in, and you are no longer on the air, so you hang up so you don't get the opportunity to do your closing thoughts, lady. So the next time you're on, don't you hang up until I tell you that it's time to hang up, because this is the time that you are needed to do your closing thoughts. And remember that we are coming up on VMG Radio, which is a part of the Eagles Vision Media Group. We'll be up and running next week, so we look forward to seeing you over there. And from that radio show, we are dedicated and committed to awake the entrepreneurs within. So that will be EVMG Radio, and we will be broadcasting out of Eagles Vision Media Group. And we are praying that we will not only be on one day over there, but we are just getting everything set up from there. And I'm really excited and looking forward to that. I want to thank the people who join us on the computer. If you're in the chat room, I thank you. And I want you to always remember to sign up and mark the show favorite so that you can know the people who will be on each week. So you want to sign in and to support them. And in the weeks coming up, we will be featuring all of the speakers that will be at the Vision Weekend Conference. Shape your vision for greater success. Again, the website where you can sign up to be a vendor or to be an attendee is visionweekendconference.com. So go there and grab your opportunity. Again, thanks to Barbara for joining me this morning. Know, as you heard Barbara says, it is your responsibility. You got to hold yourself accountable. If you know that you are not in a position to hold yourself accountable, then you need to find somebody else that will hold you accountable. I'm here for you. And there are other people out there who are committed to helping you to live your purpose and your calling and your vision. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul telling you right now to remember not to settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. Only you need to believe in what you're doing. Do not sit around, do not wait on others to give you their approval. God already created you for greatness. God already created you to do something that He has created you to do. Do not forfeit. Do not leave this world without your music being played. Do not leave this world without your poetry being written. Do not leave this world without the house that you were created to design being built. Do not leave this world without giving birth to that which you are impregnated with. You have a destiny that only you can fulfill. You have a destiny that only you were created to manifest. Take some quiet time. Journal your thoughts. Stand tall with pride. Get ready for action to know that there is no one else. Only you alone can do that which God created you to do. I love and appreciate you. Stay true to your destiny and follow your dreams.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him.
Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Hi, Marina. It's Daphne. I have your email on the thing, so can you please check the spam to see if my email is in the spam from you. Thank you. Oh, good afternoon, MJ. It's Daphne. How are you? Great. Can you check on your email spam to see if the emails, because you haven't been getting any emails from me? Because I have your email as mjweble, W-H-E-B-L-E at gmail.com. Then I have M-A-R-I-N-A. m1@charter.net. So they are probably in spam. So if you check your spam, and I will, it's coming from dynamicdaphne@aol.com. You're not seeing them. Send me an email to, somebody, I think it's going to say my box is full, so I have to go on to empty my box. My box is full. Dynamic Daphne, D-Y-N-A-M-I-C, Daphne@AOL.com. How did I empty? Yeah. What happened here? No, I'm talking about something because I'm just signing. I'm on a different place. I was getting panicky, which don't happen often. I forget. I just finished my radio show and I forget I was on this station. I'm saying, why is my document files empty? But it's because I'm on the radio site. all right. Yeah. Okay. Friday is what? They leaving? Yeah. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock in New Milford. At the park and ride. Because it is 1 o'clock in the day, I think I'm going to have the bus go behind Walmart. So, I don't know who is coming, Marina or yourself. Come. Okay, so just drive to the back of Walmart, like towards the end where you see they have their gardening supply, and just continue around the back part. I'm going to like park right in front of the bank, so Union Savings Bank, so I can direct people to going around there. Because normally we park in front of the bank, but I don't want the congestion, seeing that it's business, it's operating time. So I'm going to go to the back instead. But I will stay there to direct people to go to the back of the building. Good. 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 Oh, wonderful. 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 Oh, I didn't hear anything. You didn't complain. But you are who you are, you mean, please. And that's the diversity of Connecticut. I tell them, don't be coming to compare your family. Every household is uniquely so. It is what it is, and you are here to experience each family uniquely and individually. But you know how kids are. They're always comparing this and comparing that and comparing the other. It's like the boy Marina called me about last night. I said, why isn't he complaining to the chaperone? And he went over, Well, he has not said anything to me. And he's supposed to tell me any complaint he gets. So he went into New York today. So when he comes home, I'm going to ask him. Because if he gets complaint, he's supposed to tell me. And he has not said anything to me. And we were sitting together yesterday. So, it is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. You just sent me a hold on a minute, please. If you have a couple minutes, let me switch over back to my other, to my one where I can see my emails. Switch user. Technology. Technology.